We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
What would the season be without Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol? This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Bah Humbug Productions wraps up its production of the classic at Parkland Theater this weekend. There will be performances Thursday through Sunday. The last performance, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Nick Schneider is the show's writer-producer. He also plays the role of Ebenezer Scrooge, and I'm pleased that he's here with me in the studio this afternoon.
Boy, I can't say bah humbug to that, can I?
No.
Thank you for having me, Celeste.
This is the third annual Bah Humbug staging of A Christmas Carol, but this is a new adaptation.
Well, it's the adaptation in itself, and we do this, of course, in association with Parkland College Theater. The adaptation is just evolving. The first one, 3 years ago, made a few changes the second year. This year, the changes were a little more significant and to try to bring home a little different theme. In an adaptation, of course, we're not strictly copying from the Dickens novella, although that's essentially what the story is. The story doesn't change. It's just how we look at it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could step into the role of Ebenezer and give us a sampling of what this adaptation is like.
Well, what else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you, Celeste, but a time for paying bills without money, a time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stick of holly through his heart.
Oh, dear. Dear Mr. Scrooge, you have it so wrong.
Right. And in fact, it's interesting. One of the things we brought into this year's presentation is this idea of holly. And so I created a new character that – there's several characters that aren't – they're Dickensian, but they're not Dickens created. This one is the holly lady, we call her, the holly girl. And what she's always doing – she's like a pitchman, a street pitchman, and she's always trying to sell a sprig of holly. Think of her as Eliza Doolittle in, you know, the Flower Lady and My Fair Lady. So, but at any rate, so with holly through his heart. And so this holly has now is kind of like a thread through the thing. She shows up. She sells a bit of holly to Bob Cratchit. She tries to sell Scrooge or tells he doesn't need any holly. And part of her pitch is that it keeps you ahead of the household, and it keeps your darling daughters from any little goblins at night, and it keeps takes care of the poor tiny spirit of the wood. And of course, Scrooge tells her, "And I don't harbor any spirits in my house, tiny or otherwise." Well, that's kind of a harbinger of what actually ends up happening, because he harbors a lot of spirits, as it turns out.
Yeah. What do you find most powerful about this story that's been with us now for a century and a half?
Well, it's Scrooge's redemption. I mean, that's part of it. I think the other part of it, the continuing idea, and we use it in some of the lines that are read by a couple of the characters or voices, is that we tend to forget that history repeats itself. And in fact, I think one of the heartbeat behind this story is that it is repeating itself. And the same kinds of things that were going on in Victorian age London in the 1840s or 50s are still happening today someplace in the world, perhaps even here in our own country. The idea there's a kind of a class society. In our case, of course, this is a democracy. We don't talk about that. But in fact, it exists in some way.
Oh, certainly. When one of the spirits reveals want and ignorance, we know what that is.
Oh, sure, it is, and the biggest problem there is, he said, beware of the boy, ignorance, because that's who will bring disaster upon you.
And that is certainly probably the greatest challenge for a democracy.
That's right. Knowledge and getting knowledge out to everyone so that everybody has an education and realizes the importance of understanding each other.
Listeners can get a glimpse of the look of the show on YouTube. How would you describe the look and feel of this production, Nick?
Well, It's certainly from a theatrical view. It's very professional. We use a lot of special effects to the limit of our budget. We can't really fly people all over the place like you might see in the movies. But we do. Marley's ghost takes a little ride into the air. We figured out how to do that. But it's a very interesting painting. It's a continuously moving painting, if you will, kind of like a watercolor, if you don't mind me saying so. Partly due to the way we handle the set scene changes, partly due to the lighting, partly due to the fog and the other kinds of ethereal things that happen. We don't have the usual go to black and change the scene. Your scene evolves in front of you. We use three turntables, and those things, and they're all maneuvered by actors. The so-called folks in black are very limited. They are back there, but they don't do any of that movement. All of the actors tell the story. They move the scenery. They bring the table out. They take it off. You see all that in front of you. So it's a constantly changing painting, and I think of it as a watercolor.
Well, tell us a little bit about the cast and crew that make this story come to life on the stage of the theater at Parkland College.
Well, it's a highly varied and experienced, from experienced to our first time on stage cast. It's simply a combination of community actors from all around the area, actors that are, you know, perhaps majoring in theater at Parkland in the theater program there, but it's just also folks that have appeared in other productions around town, whether it's Champaign-Urbana Theater Company or the Station or any one of the number of theatrical groups, and we play these. Many of them play multiple roles, so that's also a challenge for them. They have to be one person in Act One, and maybe even two people in Act One, and then somebody else in Act Two.
Yeah.
Except for Scrooge. He's stuck. You know.
The cast has made a recording of A Christmas Carol for broadcast on WILL Radio on December 23rd. It will air on the AM station at 10:06 a.m. and on WILL FM at noon. That's Wednesday, December 23rd. Can you tell us a little bit about reading for radio and how that came together?
Well, it was an idea that was fostered here. I don't know whose brainstorm that was, but Harriet contacted me, and we decided that we could do something like this. And you cannot just translate. You can't just go record the stage play and expect the listeners to understand what's going on. And I would have preferred a lot of time to write a special radio version. But what we did do, and what I did do, was create a special adaptation for this purpose for this year. And we recorded it the other night. We got some editing to do on it, some sound effects to put in. But, of course, the visuals are missing, so I had to create some voices that kind of told you the story, much like if you would read the story, you can get those kinds of pictures. So we had to paint them for you audibly for the radio listener.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Harriet Williams said it's wonderful.
Well, the show is wonderful. We don't expect the radio version to be exactly like the stage version. But there are folks who are ill, who are in invalid status, who can't get out to see the stage play. And this is a kind of a Christmas present. They can at least listen to the story and gain what insight they can into this man's reclamation.
What a wonderful present. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
In the meantime, if you can get out to see the Humbug production, we hope you will do so. It wraps up at Parkland Theater this weekend. There will be performances Thursday through Sunday. The last performance of the annual staging is Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
That's
correct.
And
so get out there and enjoy the show.
Please do. It's everything everybody tells us. They just love it, and we love doing it.
Thank you so much, Nick.
And thank you, Celeste.
Nick Schneider.